speaking on this program is Brother Kevin T.
The next question that we want to ponder tonight is from the book of Luke, chapter 16, verses 1 through verse 14. Can you explain the parable of the unjust steward? I'm going to throw some things up on the board here. In fact, I'll go ahead and throw everything up on the board. Let me say that Luke chapter 16, verses 1 through verse 14 is an extremely difficult parable and possibly the most difficult, if not the most, one of the most difficult sets of passages in the New Testament Scripture. Having said that, I'm going to say tonight that what I'm going to give you that I'm not able to draw conclusions on myself with regard to the summation of everything that the parable is teaching. But I will draw some conclusions that I believe will help us in regard to understanding of what's going on. To begin with, turn with me to the book of Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15. It is important for us to understand what the Lord is dealing with as He begins. As you'll see on the PowerPoint presentation, this is a parable of a series of four parables given by our Lord. And the first three are given in Luke chapter 15. But I want to read verses 1 through verse 3. Then all the tax collectors and sinners drew near him meaning Jesus, to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes complained, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." Well, what did Jesus do? No, verse 3. So he, meaning Jesus, spoke this parable to them. The first parable that Jesus presented in this context or series of parables is a parable of a lost sheep. And what Jesus is identifying as you would read through that parable is that every soul is important to God and that every soul is able to receive God's salvation. The second parable is the parable of the lost coin. And in that, it shows the value in every single soul. Every soul not only is important to God, but every soul is of equal value to God. Remember what is said in John chapter 3 and verse 16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting." Whosoever. And He gave Himself for the world. Hence, we are all equally valuable before God. The third parable that we find in Luke chapter 15, verses 11 through 32, is the parable of the prodigal son. The parable of the prodigal son, we focus oftentimes on the one who took his father's inheritance and walked away. And he squandered his money away, he spent it in foolish living, and hence he got to the bottom of the barrel when he had nothing. And finally, he came to a fork in the road where he determined, you know, I could stay here and die, or I could go swallow my pride and my humiliation and go back to my father. We read from the context of what is given there, he swallowed his pride. He made the right choice and he went back, concluding in his mind, you know, if only I can even serve as a servant in my father's house, that's better than where I am at this given time. From that parable, we understand is that people do fall away. And in that, God gives them opportunities to come back. In fact, He even shows them the avenue that they can choose to come back to Him. We also learn, though, is that the Father saw Him from afar off. That signifies, does it not, the love that God has for each and every one of us, and that God is longing for those who depart from Him to return. And the Father met Him, ran to Him, and embraced Him. In this, too, though, not only do we find what the prodigal son would represent, the erring Christian, and also the father would represent our Heavenly Father, we understand concerning the eldest son who had remained. He represents the church. And the reason that I say that, remember whenever he heard of the celebration that was going on, he came and he didn't know, not only inquire with regard to what was going on to his father, but he kind of rebuked his father, didn't he? He says, "I, your eldest son, have remained," and this is paraphrased. And he says, "You didn't kill any fatted calves for me. We didn't have any celebrations." And friends, that picture, sadly, is a picture that is found sometimes in the Lord's church whenever somebody does depart and comes home, is that they are not as quick to rejoice with that one and with our God over the soul that has come home. And therefore, the the lesson would be is that we do not want to be like the elder son, is that we want to be like the father and to receive them with open arms as they would come back. Then the fourth parable is the parable of the unjust steward. And as we look at the parable of the unjust steward, I want to read some comments that are given by Brother Wayne Jackson. Brother Wayne Jackson is out in California. He is a very notable scholar in our brotherhood. And Brother Jackson also concludes in a similar sense as to some things that that I have concluded. And that is that there are some things that we cannot know about it, but there are some things that we can draw a deduction to simply because of not only what we find here in Scripture, but what we know to be true in the broader context of Scripture. Going back in regard to what is said in Luke chapter 15 and verse 2, the Pharisees complained, saying, "This man received sinners and ate with them." These parables, then, that Jesus is speaking is applicable immediately to who? To the Pharisees and the scribes in the context. Did they understand that? Look at Luke chapter 16 and verse 14. "Now the Pharisees, who were lovers of money, also heard all these things and derided Him." They mocked or scorned Jesus for what He just said. So how did they look at it? They took it personal. So therefore, while we may not be able to understand exactly what it means and how it would apply to us in a direct manner, there may not be a direct lesson to us. These individuals got the lesson that Jesus laid before them. In regard to the background, why this parable? Brother Jackson goes on to explain. Jesus addressed His disciples in verse 1. Was He warning them about the greed of the Pharisees? Luke chapter 16 and verse 14, as we just read. Was He arguing against the self-satisfied behavior of the Pharisees? Possibly. The steward in the parable had acted inappropriately. We draw that from the context to the fact that he's going to lose his ability to be a steward. And this is what his master has concluded. He is not commended for his behavior. In this, the Scripture identifies is that he has gone to those who have owed the master and he collects the funds. And in this, Jesus commends him because of the fact that he was shrewd. He doesn't commend his unethical practices in this context. Rather, what he does commend is the fact that he is acting in a shrewd manner. He does, however, show urgency in his behavior. And this is where Brother Jackson is saying, this is where the accommodation comes in. This is where he is saying, I commend you for your action. God's children would do well to exhibit this urgency in their service to the Lord. In verse 2, we have the firing, if you would, of the steward. In verses 3 through verse 7, we have the steward's response. And this is where he has the actions that we just discussed. And in verse 8 is a commendation. What could possibly be Jesus' point in telling a story like this? Most likely, he is challenging his hearers with the urgency of the hour. God does that in a number of times, a number of ways through the parables, does He not? And therefore, it would be fitting for Him to also be carrying forward with this same school of thought or pleading in this parable. If they were properly indignant over such a story, how much more should they apply the lessons to themselves? They are in the same position as the manager who saw imminent danger, but the crisis that threatened them is incomparably terrible. The man acted. Note that Jesus does not excuse his actions. He acted. He did something about his situation. For you too, Jesus seems to be saying, the urgency of the hour demands action. Everything is at stake. And that's the way that this steward was looking at it. He says, in essence, I don't want to go out and dig. He's saying I'm too lazy. In this, he understands that his livelihood is getting ready to just implode, to collapse in upon him. And therefore, he takes the steps that he sees to be necessary because of the urgent situation that he is in. Hence, God is telling us that if we are not right with Him, we need to understand the opportunity that He lays before us and to act with urgency. While Christ is frequently criticized as condoning the steward's lack of ethics, such a charge is misguided. And that certainly is true. Our Lord would never condone unethical practices. And anyone who would suggest such, they need to understand that it is a false charge that they would be bringing against our Lord. The focus of the story is that the steward used what was at his disposal to prepare for the future, for his future welfare, expressing it in another way, to use the temporal to prepare for the eternal. Those who press the illustration beyond this point engage in dishonest procedure. Brother Jackson concludes with some truths contained in the parable that we can take away. Christians are managers of God's property. God blesses us with everything that we have, and therefore all that we have does not belong to us. It belongs to God. And we are to be good stewards over those possessions. One is obligated to act ethically in his dealings. We are to live an upright life in the sight of God as well as in the sight of God, in the sight of man. And we are to do all things honest in the sight of God as well as in the sight of man. Thirdly, circumstances must be used to prepare for eternity. A lot of people use circumstances to tear them down. Yet God wants us to take whatever situation we're in, if it is a challenging moment, to understand that that challenging moment is really and truly supposed to build our faith and to help us to walk closer to God. Sometimes people of the world are wiser in practice than children of God. And this is brought from Luke chapter 16 and verse 8, the second part of that. And that's directly from the context. And there are some times that people in the world are able to act in a more shrewd or wise manner than people in the church. And for those in the church who walked unwise or uncircumspectively, we want to encourage us to open our eyes and to consider all of the things that the Lord would have us to think about in our relationship with Him and in our service to Him each and every day. Then, fifth, an endorsement of one quality is not an endorsement of all behavior. What did Jesus endorse again? The fact that this man was shrewd. He did not endorse the man's unethical practice here in this context because he said that the man was shrewd and he commended him for that. So because he did that does not mean that he goes along with anything or everything else that the man may have engaged in. One's conduct on earth has eternal consequences. And as Christians, by all means, we need to always keep that in the forefront of our minds. Heaven's riches are vastly superior to the riches of earth. Luke 16 and verse 11. But then also, divided allegiance is condemned. Luke 16 and verse 13. Again, I do not know that we can draw very precise conclusions about the parable here, the unjust steward. If you have a greater explanation that you would like to sit and to share with me, I would gladly sit that I might be able to be enlightened in this. But there are some lessons by all means that we can take away as Brother Jackson has laid before us as we have considered this very hour tonight.